Revelation 18, beginning to read with verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Remember her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill it to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I set a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and have lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, all the tying wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off, and fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and the sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast the dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour she is made desolate. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, your precious word's powerful. We need to learn it, proclaim it, apply it to our hearts. Please, dear Lord, you just guide and lead us today as we enjoy this word. And the words that we've read are not words of comfort. They're words of judgment. The days of comfort are over. Father, today is a day of comfort. Today, anyone that is here, anyone that gets to hear this message, the Comforter can come into their hearts and save them if they'll just come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus. They don't have to face this time. So please, today be the day of salvation for all that are listening that do not know. I hope today they have an ear to hear and that they hear. Father, please, all that are here that know you as their Savior, that this be a time of learning, a time of growing, and a time of, show us a time of urgency. It's time to take this word out because the time is short. Now please, guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In just a very quick review here, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. We find that there is judgment coming. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and caged and unclean and hateful bird. This light that was shown upon the earth, we are not told directly who this angel may be, but we know that God himself, the righteous true judge, is the one that's bringing this judgment down upon Babylon. And many believe that it is none other than the Lord Jesus himself is bringing this judgment. Babylon the Great has fallen. The way that this statement is made right here is that it's a finished work. And anything that we look to the Word of God, when God says it, whether it has taken place or not, it will happen at his appointed time. And when Jesus has promised us that he is going to return a second time, and he will, he has promised he's going to come and take his church away from here before he comes to plant his feet upon this earth, and he will come. And we need to be prepared for his coming. We find that this Babylon, it has gotten to be such a devil-possessed place that there's just demons everywhere. In the last portion of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, when the beast and this harlot raises up in their greatest level of power, they will come with, it's the devil himself, and with his cronies, with the demons that are going to come along, and they will be around this earth every place. What an awful place to be, an awful place to live during this time. We're not told much about these other than the description that is given here. And the devils, habitation of devils or demons, and hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I don't know what your yard looked like last night, but about 7:30, 8 o'clock. It looked like every demon and in our backyard. I don't know what was going on, but the dragonflies were in the multitudes, and the birds were in the multitudes. They were all flying about 3 foot off the ground, swarming at each other, going back. I think the dragonflies was trying to get the bugs, and the birds was trying to get the dragonflies. But whatever was going on, it reminded me of what it was speaking of here when this time comes, with all the demons and the evil birds and all the things, and it just looked like havoc out there. It didn't look normal. It didn't look right. And so that was in our backyard last night. This third verse, all the nations have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornications. All nations have fallen under her spell. Everyone. The only one that is going to turn on this, the great whore, Rome, as we know it to be, the only one that's going to turn on her and desire her destruction is going to be the beast. And I believe, because there's going to be a point in time when the beast is tired of the great whore getting all the attention. And you see, she just wants to start a false religion, which she's very good at doing. But the beast wants to be God. He is taking the place of God. He is God as far as he's concerned. And so after a point in time, he becomes very selfish of what the great whore is taking and the attention. And so we're going to find that all the nations have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We know that the religions of today have followed that path. We know that the kings of the earth committed fornication with her. We have found that she is known to be the vicar of Christ. In other words, she is the intercessor between God and man. That's the position that they have placed themselves in even today. But it will become a one-world religion in this day. And so it will become worse than ever. We find that the merchants of the earth, not only the kings of the earth, but the merchants of the earth, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That word delicacy, you've heard many times as we read through this section of Scripture, and it's an arrogant luxury. It is a wantonness. It is a desire for more and more and more and more, and that's the hunger of this religion, of this church of that day. And we're going to find that that's the reason that these merchants, why they are going to cry and wail when she is fallen, because it meant great riches for them. And so we have these groups that will cry and wail because of the loss. They will not be crying and wailing because of their sin, only because the loss of possessions. I don't know if you noticed, but when we read through the list of the merchandise that they claimed that they would lose, did you notice what was first? Gold. You notice what's in the least value to this world, and it's true today. Soul of a man. That's the last. Gold's more important than the soul of a man. And that's what happens during the tribulation. But it's already going on today. It's already going on today. There's more concern about money and wealth than there ever is about a man's soul, whether he goes to heaven or to hell. We go to the fourth verse here, and we find, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." There is a group here that seems to be mixed with this group, whether they have hidden their true faith, because they seem here to closing days of this, there are saved that are in the middle of this mess. And God's going to call them out. For whatever reason, they have kind of been involved with them. And again, whether so they aren't martyred, to save persecution, we're not sure. You know, during this time, you have to have the mark of the beast, and they won't have the mark of the beast. And so somehow or other, they have hidden themselves in this group, kind of like Lot did down Sodom and Gomorrah. He's kind of hidden down there amongst all this. God's going to call them out. And they are told to come, separate themselves completely from them. The fifth verse says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." Kind of reminds us of back in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, when Nimrod was building the tower to Babel. He was so arrogant that he thought that there was another way to heaven, and he could build his way there. And that's what he attempted to do. And that was really the birth of this great whore that we call Babylon or Rome today. It never ended from that time on, even though their languages were confused and they all dispersed to all sides of the world. The problem is that they stopped the communication, so they weren't so dangerous. But the thought in their mind of getting another way, being another way to heaven, or having another way to have their sins dealt with or taken care of, they could do. They believed they could do it another way. And that thought has never left man, still very present today. From all this that was going on, again, God calls them out. So come out and come out now. God will not bring the final judgment upon this earth until they are taken away. We find with Noah and the ark, judgment didn't come until the door of the ark was closed and he was in. We know again with Lot and his daughters, they were led out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and until they were away did the fire come. They are told to make a complete break. And if not, they are given a choice. We're always given a choice. If not, they would face the plagues. So they had a choice. And we know with Lot's wife that she loved the things of Sodom and Gomorrah so much that she lagged back. And she became part of the judgment. It'll be exactly the same way here with these believers if they would lag back. But I believe God's going to bring them out, as he always has, before the fire will come. Because we are told here in the 8th verse, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And so this is going to come in one day. Judgment will be found whenever all is taken out. We find what judgment is going to come upon her. She will be judged double for her iniquity. All the things that she has destroyed, all the lies that she has taught, all the preachers that's preached the lies, all the cults that's been established, everything through all the time that she is responsible for in placing that thought in man, she is going to be held responsible for. And that 6th verse tells us, reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill it to her double. Reward her even as she rewarded you. She rewarded us with lies. And she's going to be held accountable for those lies. She will be held accountable. This great whore, and we know it to be Rome, has butchered and tormented people all through the ages. But especially this last 3.5 years, she will be a brutal enemy to anything that stands for God or stands with God being a person. For that, for all the destruction that she has caused ever since the Tower of Babel, she will pay the penalty. And whatever the normal penalty will be, God will double it in his judgment. The 7th verse, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. She will not only be judged for what she has done to the saints, and if she does it to the saints, she's doing it against God. She will not only be judged for that, but she also will be judged for herself. She is so arrogant that when this judgment is coming and all the people, and just you think about this false religion that has brought in all these lies. And if you would go back, if you want to go back in time, and you'll find that many of the things that we celebrate is Christmas and Easter. Did you ever look what the word Easter means? It doesn't mean the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus. You look at so many of the things that many people are dogmatic about have come from Rome. And they have become a tradition, a doctrine, a false teaching. And the world has accepted them. And so there's much responsibility that she is going to be held accountable for. But not only is she going to be held accountable for that, but she is so prideful that even when she falls, she says, I am no widow, I am a queen. I shall see no sorrow. This is after the beast and the ten kings come against her. She sits in ashes, weeping and mourning for her. And yet she sits there so prideful and literally says to God, I will see no sorrow. I am the queen. Arrogant. Arrogance she possesses. And you find that today with the churches. They're so bold to teach and to preach their doctrines, but not the Word of God. And they do it with a boldness and with an arrogance. Who is their God? Who is their leader? It is none other than the great whore from Rome. That's who they're following. That's who they're following. Pride and arrogance still remains in her heart. She has lost the power and lost all the authority. She has been disrobed of all her strength, and yet she still sits and says, I am the queen. I will see no sorrow. The kings of the earth will weep for her. As we look through these verses of Scripture, verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. And remember, deliciously means with an arrogant level of luxury. I mean, she just continues to lift herself up. She never has enough, never has enough. She saith in her heart, I sit a queen. I'm no widow. I shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Utter destruction to the woman. The fire will make an utter end to Babylon with her ungodly system. But you can see that the devil never gives up. Even when she's been destroyed, the devil still stands there and makes her feel that she's a queen. The kings and the merchants, they will mourn, the Scripture tells us in verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. You see, it wasn't only Rome. It's not only the great whore. It's not only this woman that has lifted herself up and taken all this wealth, but also all that have joined in with this. They too have become very, very wealthy. And they are living a lifestyle that is beyond our imagination because of all the wealth that's being poured in. What's the quickest way to get a person away from the Word of God and away from serving Him? They had an old television show on years ago, and it was called, I believe, The Millionaire. And he would come and give $1 million to a family, to an individual. And then the show was all about how that changed their life. And almost every case, it ended with the family broken and them broke. The devil uses the same trick today. He flashes money, and all of a sudden, your service to the Lord, your time for the Lord, all that goes aside because I have all the money that I need to do whatever I want to do, and I intend to do it. And the devil puts that right in your heart. Right in your heart. What a sad day, and many Christians get caught up in that same problem and living this lifestyle that the world has promoted. And the world, of course, is none other than the devil. The lamentations, the weeping and the crying over this great Babylon as she has fallen. And this one is not the commercial side that's fallen. This is the church that's fallen. The beast has come against her. Many will be affected by this. The merchandise is listed and it gives 48 different articles in the list. And again, the first is gold. That's the highest, that's the most important thing to them. The least is the soul of man. There's two names down at the bottom. One is slavery, and the other is the soul of a man. This is the church. This is the church. This is what's important to those that are involved in this church. It will affect the whole commercial and social life of the world. They share in the glory and the wealth of this woman, all the profit of her ungodly practices. The kings will be mourning. Not the 10 kings of Rome, the 10 kingdoms that set up the federation, not the beast, but all the rest of the world. The kings of the earth. Some believe this to be leaders of the earth, and more importantly, religious leaders. You see, during this time, there's going to be one world religion and one world government, and they're going to be together. You're not going to have somebody standing up against the religion of that day. It's going to be everywhere, and everybody's going to be a part of it. So if you're going to be a king or a leader of a country, you will have fallen into the same path that the great whore is teaching. And so you will attend her church. Because you see, it's all one. And so we find here that probably the kings that are wailing here, they're all the preachers. They're the religious leaders of that day. And they will all be crying and weeping, a little different than a king that you think. But again, it's all together. They witness this awful destruction of this great evil system. They enjoyed the luxuries. They loved the gold. They loved all these possessions. The first group were these religious leaders, or the kings, as we look at. The second group here are the merchants. And so we have the religious leaders or kings, and now we have the merchants. And we look to the merchants here. We find, again, with the 9th and 10th verse, so we'll read about the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, lived deliciously with her, shall wail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Then the second group is the merchants in verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and of silver and of precious stones. And we get the list here as we look at that. The second list, that's great sorrow, is because this system has fallen, and all their wealth, all their money was connected with this, and they loved it. The variety was, if you would read that list, and we have read it earlier there, gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, tine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, manner of vessels, most precious wood, and of brass, iron, and marble. Then we have cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, and we have wine and oil and fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, and the souls of men. If you would look at that, that's just kind of the whole world system. And everything is a part of that. And these people have bought into this false religion. And it brought them multitudes of money. And they loved what it got to them. She not only controlled in that day the religion, but also she controls a great amount of the commerce in Babylon. The great trade of these commodities are all listed here. And again, the first is gold. The second, the last is the souls of men. And we look at that and we see the souls of men and we see the word slavery ahead of that. It does give us the mindset that they would buy and sell people. And they did. That was common. Slavery of the day was common. But this is the church. This is the church. This isn't the beast and his political side. This is the church. Slavery. Souls. And if you don't preach the gospel, that is slavery. And so that's all they have here. Now, I've broken it down very quickly, and then we'll close today. It's broken down into seven divisions. The first division is gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, pearls, all precious stones. The second is costly clothing, fine linen. The third is costly furniture. And much of that went into the church. Much of that went into the church. Costly ointments of all kinds, cinnamon, etc. The next is just extra things that make living more luxurious, like wine. And then the sixth is horses and chariots, and the seventh is the souls of men. And if you want to just note it there, why you can find it very easily, that in verse 12, the merchandise of gold, I have a number one there, and then fine linen, a little lower than that, is the second one. The third one is all vessels, the wooden, tine wood, and on from there. The fourth starts with and cinnamon. The fifth and wine. The sixth and horses. And the seventh and slaves and souls of men. It's big, big business. It's been going on for many years in Rome. And throughout all of their outreaching arms, you pay to pray. You pay to pray. And you see, that wasn't enough money to pay to pray. So they figured out a way to deceive the people that they even get you in to pay to pray for dead people. What a trick. To pay for dead people. Because you see, if we can come up with a central spot here where we can convince people that the souls are being held there, and if you bring enough money, we will pray for you and we can move them on up. Maybe. Maybe. That's just a few of the lies that they have brought out. It's big business. Big in politics. It's a big religion. Again, in the end times, there'll just be one church and just be one government. There'll be two main powers is what we're going to have. But I want you to see, and you can tell it today, that the least important thing to the church today is the souls of men. The most important thing to a church today is money. And the church today has figured out how to steal from the people to fill their pockets. All the while, those that they're stealing from, their souls are going to rot in hell because they didn't give them the gospel. Money. It's all about money. You look at the leaders of these big churches. It's all about money. I'll send you a cloth. Lay your hand on it. Then I can lay my hand on it. And when you send that cloth back, send me $100 because that'll help me to pray. Old Roberts did that years ago. Folks called in, wanted to bring their dying son to him. Send money, and then I'll see you. Send money. Cults. The world is not going to have to change much to fit into the tribulation period. There's not going to be many changes. Look this afternoon at that list, starting with gold and ending with souls. And you think about that. How's our life fit into that? Are we more concerned about gold than souls? Let's close in prayer. Father, I ask that your precious word by your Holy Spirit will touch all of our hearts, will help us to see what's important. We get our priorities turned around very easily. What's important? What's important is getting your precious word out. Whether we're speaking to one person or 1,000, telling people Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He fulfilled the law. He didn't take the law away. He completed it. Shed his precious blood. And then offered to us the gift of salvation. And all we need to do is believe. In our old sinful flesh, we can't even do that. So you send faith. So first, you show us the Lord Jesus. You show us our sin first, and then you show us our Savior. And then you produce the power and strength to come. And then, your Father, we're sealed and we're kept for eternity. It doesn't get any easier than that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And yet the world and the church that is active and growing in the world sets their eyes on gold and is all forgotten about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son Jesus and what that means to the lost soul. Speak to our hearts today, Father. Those that are lost, please, that they'll come today. They don't have to go through this awful time. And those of us that are saved, let's see that soul that's first. Yes, Lord, you bless us. You give us many things to enjoy. But let's see that lost soul and saved soul are the ones that are first in our mind and our hearts. Praising and serving you, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.